Hey everybody, welcome to another edition of the Eureka Street Creative Podcast. It is April 23rd, 2024, and I'm broadcasting live from Leander, Texas. This is episode 512, that's right, that you heard it correct. Last episode I said it was 512 as well, but it was 511, and I just, I'm just not really keeping count anymore because there's just so many of them. This is my little experimental play place, and sometimes I bring people on here to help me experiment, because that's what this Web3 space is all about. Anyway, we are at the edges, at the fringes, in the bazaar, and we are all experimenting. There are no professionals right now in this place because we're all trying to figure out as we go along. Is that true? And is I have Mr. Chris Everly, DeFi Ginger here, he is a host on Crypto Sapiens, one of the main projects that I love working on. And what's up, Chris?
Morning, sir. Yeah, definitely no professionals here, but I am honored to be a part of the real episode 512, not the fake 512.
Yeah, not the fake one. I'm broadcasting this right now on YouTube, on Twitter, and on Unlonely. So it's pretty rad. Yeah, sorry, I got to sign in on Unlonely real quick here, and. Yeah, I forgot to sign in with my wallet. So Unlonely app is a Web3 based app. You sign in with your MetaMask wallet, or you can sign in with your Google ID as well. I'm finding a lot of these new Web3 apps are offering options for both. Mm-hmm. And what are your thoughts on that? Do you think that there should be some Web2 accessibility, or just keep it core?
I like the whole meeting people where they are thing. I mean, I work on Coordinate is one of the projects I've worked on for a long time, and we went through a process probably a year ago now of adding email login. So for folks who didn't want to have to weren't ready for whatever reason to get through the MetaMask onboarding and all the other stuff that we know can be full of friction, we wanted to give teams a way to just do email. Great, we did an integration with Magic Link. They create a wallet behind the scenes for the person, so you still have the ability to take stuff on chain. But I think anytime you can lower or remove friction from onboarding, you should do it. And people call that Web 2.5 or what have you, but great. Like, let's go. Let's get folks on the bus and let's go somewhere. That's how I look at it.
Yeah, that's cool. Okay. So you do believe in kind of making it accessible and stuff like that. Because I know a lot of these like open source projects, it's very black and gray and scary and lots of like text and it's really difficult to try to navigate around in some of those programs, So yeah, the easier you can make it for the masses. So now that you said that you are working and involved in Coordinate, let's hear a little bit more about you. What are your main projects? When I look at your bio, it says you have a background in Netflix. It says you're an angel investor. I don't even know what an angel investor is. So try to explain some of this stuff.
Yeah, man. So I like to say I had sort of a traditionally successful career in tech, and did all the things you're supposed to do, and had like big corporate jobs at some big name places like Facebook and Netflix. And way back in the day in my career, was at AOL for a long time. So I'm sort of one of the few folks that's done like the web one to web two to web three journey professionally. Wow. I've been through it, man. I've seen some things. So I've had, some big jobs at big companies, and then also I've been a part of some tech startups. It all sort of led me in a couple of different ways. It kind of led me to Web3 and crypto in part because I saw a lot of things at those big centralized organizations that, I wanted to be a part of finding a better way of doing some of these things, right? Like, and, as I said on the, in your previous question about, letting folks, sign into products more easily using Google sign in. Like, I think that's great for where we're at right now. I'm not like I don't put up a hard wall and I'm anti anything big tech, right? I think it's a process and we need to bridge. And I learned things from working at those companies. and brought them with me to crypto. And, you know, and I'm fortunate to spend my time now working with a whole bunch of different crypto projects. And so the angel investor thing, angel investors typically are people who put in, who put money into a startup very early. It's usually, you know, some of, if not the first money in, or sometimes folks will take money from friends and family. And then they'll take money from angels, but it's usually in that like pre-seed kind of phase of projects. And they're typically smaller checks. And certainly for me, I'm not a whale. So it's, you know, it's smaller checks, but it's also investing with my time, to help builders build cool stuff. And I've been fortunate to do that with, you know, with a bunch of projects in this space now. So I sort of spend my time between, supporting those founders on what they're doing. And then I go a little bit deeper with a couple of other projects, namely Coordinate these days. And, you know, working with those teams is sort of because of my background, I can kind of do any of the various business functions. So I'll do operations things and growth and marketing things and partnerships and comms and sort of whatever needs to get done on the business side. I try to help teams with as much of that stuff as I can so they can focus their time, efforts, and their cash on product and tech.
Okay, cool. All right. So yeah, no idea what angel investor meant. When I first started out in this crypto space, I didn't even know what VC was. I didn't know cool. what KYC and AML stood for. Like, it's like an entirely different language. And I really just had to immerse myself in podcasts and let people just say those words and try to grasp the context in which those words are being said. And one thing that I've tried to do with my podcast here is to create like an entry place for people, because my background, I got kind of a crazy background, but I went to seminary and then I started building a website for my parents' company. And then I quit that and then worked for a propane hose plant as a sales manager for like 16 years. So none of that involved like tech and finance or any of that. Mm-hmm. And so I kind of had to crash course educate myself. And that's what I find at the fringes of technology. It creates like a level playing field in which anybody can like jump in, and Web3's kind of facilitated that. But it's created this like melting pot of a bunch of different backgrounds of people trying to talk to each other. Do you find that in the projects that you're working in?
Yeah, for sure, man, for sure. And I think much like what you said, I think it's one of the great things about this space, right? Yeah, there's some folks that came in from, I don't know, let's call it like all the way over here. I don't know where how I'm framed, but all the way over on one side, from finance, and they, you know, come at it from that angle, and they know all of that stuff. I personally knew only enough about the finance world to be dangerous, right? Like I had some education in that space, and then had worked a little bit on some like financial products. So I sort of knew a little bit coming in, but there are a lot of folks that have worked in finance and investing forever. And then there's folks that have been, building and developing products forever, and then all kinds of people from all other walks of life within, right? And I love meeting people at conferences and getting their, you know, their crypto origin story and all of that stuff. But I mean, and one other thing I would say on that too, you know, a number of the projects I've ended up working with, the founders are artists or, you know, and creative folks or like the guys that you and I met together from Open Season, mm-hmm. right? You know, built a game, Gianni, who's one of the co-founders, right, like sort of got into the space by designing a collection of NFTs and bringing that stuff out. And he's, you know, he's an artist, and so is his co-founder. And as many artists do, like he previously ran a pizza place, right? people have to find a way to make a living and keep their craft going. And I found a lot of people like that, that just have the hustle and have done all kinds of different jobs and just are curious about learning and building things and growing businesses and all that kind of stuff. And I think it feels like there's an even more sort of eclectic collection of people that find their way to this space. And I'm definitely here for it.
That's awesome, man. Yeah. You know, it is definitely on the fringes, and like I said, the level playing field. And you are making a venture into, I guess, the public view, and have become a host at Crypto Sapiens. What Crypto Sapiens has been trying to do is, you know, Humpty's hosted some shows, I've hosted some shows, and we've all just kind of grown in our skill set. We've had people come through and create their own mini series and show projects. And we decided, you know, this is like, we've created this little infrastructure, this protocol, I guess you could say, or best practices, that we could really get anybody in here and help them learn how to express themselves through podcasting in a public way and kind of create their own brand and their own style. And you have taken up that task as well. We've had a couple other people come through as well that have been really amazing to watch them start and finish and, you know, figure out their own way of, you know, how they want to communicate to the public. So tell us about a little bit about what motivated you to jump on into Crypto Sapiens kind of on our open mic platform and develop this.
Yeah.
The name of your show is Are We There Yet too. That's another thing I want to touch on too.
Yeah. Let's plug it. Right. First of all, I love that you and Humpty have grown Crypto Sapiens into this thing and give more and more voices a platform and reach more and more people. And I think it's awesome. You know, my path to this started really as being a guest on Crypto Sapiens. I'll have to look at when that was. It was a few years ago, and I was anonymous.
No way. What project?
on Yearn Finance.
Okay.
So there you go. It's a big reveal. I'm sure you were on the
involved. Man, a little episode, surprise right? there.
And that was, man, I don't know, probably 2021, right? Be my guess. Something like that. And okay. And so, you know, I got to know Humpty better through, we knew each other a little bit, both in California, and had seen him at some things and all of that. But I got to know him better sort of in prep for, and then in doing the episode and learned more about the show, and then have stayed connected with him and have been, you know, been following the show and have seen, yeah, I've seen other folks like Rachel, you know, come in and host and all this stuff. And so I've been a fan. And then, you know, in parallel, I've been, you know, working on a whole bunch of different things in the space, which I love it, right? I love the variety, and I get to see all kinds of different things that are going on, you know, on the investment side and on the operating side as well. And, you know, meet a lot of different people, and, you know, the combination of sort of the things that I'm seeing and then the, you know, the, for lack of a better word, the network that I'm, you know, I've sort of built out of folks that I've been able to, you know, to work with and build things with. When I saw that y'all were, you know, looking for folks to come in and join this open mic thing, I was like, oh, that feels about perfect, right? I really dig what Crypto Sapiens is about and want to be a part of it, and feel like, you know, the place that where I'm at with the way that I'm spending my time felt like it would be, you know, a good platform to try to build out. And I think, you know, it's been a blast so far. We've done three episodes, as you well know, because you've been a part of all three of them. And, you know, the show, Are We There Yet? Is, you know, it's a play on that question that we always asked when we were kids on a road trip, right? Are we there yet? Like, where are we on this, you know, how much longer till we're there? And, you know, the idea is to look at the different areas of crypto, of where folks are building things on chain, and of decentralized tech in general. And then in these different areas, look at where we are on that road, right? The spoiler alert, as you've heard me say with guests on the show, is I know we're not there yet, right? Let's look at where we are on this journey. And among the things that has been really fun is having the builders that come in, right? We, you know, most recently had Naveen from IQ Wiki, and we had Dylan from Crypto the Game. And to get, you know, have folks like this give their take on where we are, you know, from Naveen and like the AI crypto convergence, from Dylan on where we are in gaming, in crypto, and in really in content in crypto. I think it's been really, really cool. It's been fun getting into their origin stories. And then, yeah, like where they see us on that road. And I think it's a mixture of we're still early and holy moly, look at how fast things are going and the things that are getting built. So it's been, a fun journey so far.
Yeah. I mean, you're absolutely right. You know, there's still a long ways to go, but everybody says we're early, and I feel like I'm lagging behind all the time on mm-hmm. stuff. And I just, every time like something new pops up, it's like whack-a-mole. I just can't quite get at it fast enough. And, you know, I miss the opportunities.
It's really hard, man. It's hard, right? I like Telegram just gives me anxiety. Oftentimes when I look at how many unread messages I have, and I'll, you know, mm-hmm. periodically mute groups or leave groups, because there's way too much to keep up with, and that's just one channel, right?
Yeah. So I mean, I guess we're not there yet, right?
We're not. Which should make for some good podcast content, I think.
Yeah. But I mean, how will you know when you're there, though?
That's a great question. I think it's going to be fun to, you know, get into these different verticals, right? Like we've done gaming, and we've started with AI, and really AI and onboarding. We're going to get some shows together around art and music and you know, a bunch of other areas of building in Web3. I think it'll be interesting to see sort of where we've seen some level of either, you know, mass adoption, product market fit, big success financially, or, you know, and or other areas. I think the point is, like, to your question, I think success, or, you know, are we there yet, will look a little bit different for different people and in different verticals. But personally, I think, you know, a good sign of us being there is when we, you know, as an industry or in one of these verticals within the industry, we get a whole bunch of people to go do something and enjoy it. Mm-hmm. And inherent in that is, right, they've either we've lowered the friction to where they can just go do it, or the thing is just so awesome and impactful that they don't care about a little bit of friction or whatever, right? But we've, you know, we've made something smarter, better, faster enough to, you know, bring people a great experience. Because at the end of the day, right, like building on top of blockchains, like we're building software, we're building products, we're building experiences. They can be built in any of these verticals and then some, but at the end of the day, it's like we're trying to build stuff that people will love and go use and do. So I, you know, I look at it like if we're getting a lot of folks to do something, that's one of the pretty good signs that we've made it, or at least we've made it to the next stage.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the internet. Yeah, you know, a lot of people were confused about the internet. There was a high technological learning curve to get into it. And right now there is as well. And I guess whenever the internet, you know, when we were there, was when basically our lives couldn't be imagined living without it.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe the same thing for blockchain. But the problem that surfaced was once we were there with the internet, everything became centralized. So when we get there with blockchain, will it be centralized and we'll have to take some other kind of shift to decentralize ourselves again on the pendulum that constantly swings?
Interesting, right? Yeah. Or will things get too fragmented? I don't know. Like, I don't know what it would look like if it went too far in the decentralized angle. But you know, I mean, I think about that, like, you know, we touched on sort of my, you know, my career journey. I think of the places that I've worked, right? And like go back to AOL, right? You know, a million years ago. But for a lot of people, for a long time, that was the internet, right?
Yeah.
Like when they went on, quote unquote, went online and they dialed in from their machines, you know, and they had this, you know, this piece of software that came up that really kind of
you know, you've got mail.
Yeah, these training wheels of, do I have a thing up here? I have some AOL stuff here somewhere in my messy office. Nothing I can do really easily, I guess. But yeah, like, the, you know, with the sort of training wheels on and, you know, super convenient and easy and low friction, but also a, like, a, you know, a walled garden, as they say, where, like, here's, if you want to learn about sports, it, you know, back then it was cool. Then you click here on sports and you get AOL Sports and you get all everything that, you know, that editorial team wanted to show you or the ads that they sold. Like, that's what you saw. And it was this very sort of single threaded experience, which, you know, was amazing until folks realized, like, oh, holy moly, like, this is just like an entryway to the internet. But there's like, I can find anything, right? And then it got easier and easier to build those sites and all of those things. And I feel like, yeah, I mean, to your point and to some of the things, some of the onboarding stuff, like, it's awesome to make these low friction ways for folks to get in, right? We need them. If you think about, you know, how important companies like Coinbase are to the space, mm-hmm. right? Same deal, right? Like, those of us who have been in this a long time, sure, like, we probably don't, you know, hold a lot of crypto on centralized exchanges, mm-hmm. but without them, right?
Yeah. Coinbase is like the AOL. You know?
It is.
Yeah.
It is. But, you know, and the big difference, I think, you know, something that like AOL just didn't evolve with the times, right? AOL died. AOL was ahead of its time in a lot of ways. It was a fascinating mm-hmm. place to work, by the way. I don't know if I keep going back to AOL on a show about
No, that's interesting. I want to hear more.
But, yeah. But like, I don't know, they had all these crazy products. Like, there was this, I'd have to look up like what year it was, but there was this product called the AOL Mobile Communicator. And it was a little handheld thing with a keyboard. And all you could do with it was send instant messages back and forth with people. But this was
like ICQ?
It was like, it was in that ICQ days, but yeah, it was like AIM, like AOL Instant
Messenger. Okay.
Yeah. This is probably like, I'd have to look it up, but like, let's just say around maybe 2002, something okay. like that. Long yes, before people were texting, right? Before mm-hmm. there was, before SMS was everywhere. But the device was built by this company called RIM. And it was a precursor to what became BlackBerries, but it was just, it was too early. Right. People like, I remember how weird it was. We'd be in a meeting and then the couple of people that had AOL mobile communicators would be in there like looking at their stuff and be like, what the hell? Like, what's this person? Like, pay attention. Right. Whereas nowadays it's all it is. But anyways, it was like people weren't used to that behavior yet. It was expensive back then to do that. I forget what it cost, but it was too early, and AOL had a bunch of those things. And even in like trying to get folks into, you know, into broadband and higher speed connections, I think, it wasn't for total lack of trying, but AOL mm-hmm. sort of, you know, zigged when they should have zagged, you know, sort of too many times and didn't get there. I think, you know, Coinbase, in a lot of ways is leading the industry. Which is kind of awesome to see, right? Like from a regulatory advocacy perspective, right? They're fighting the good fight mm-hmm. in public against the SEC at great expense, right? But to benefit the whole industry from a decentralized building perspective, the stuff that they're doing with Base and you know attracting builders to build on top of Ethereum and build on the Superchain. And you know Ethereum more broadly, like it's really cool to see like how they've evolved from where they could have easily just been this like you know training wheels AOL kind of you know
yeah
more Web 2 less Web 3 company, but they've really
so one grown. Thing that a lot of people get a little confused about Coinbase is that there's the centralized Coinbase company and the centralized exchange, and then you have the decentralized blockchain based blockchain and then the Coinbase wallet as well, which are not part of Coinbase the company, correct? Right.
Yeah, I think they're like I think they're in that like progressively decentralizing
okay, so they're category. Actively trying to or are they going to keep the centralized version as well and just kind of
I think they
spread
got
the technology
I think right like I you know, from what I know, yeah. as a total outsider, I don't work there. I've never worked there at all those disclaimers, uh-huh. but I think they incubate or are incubating Base within Coinbase with the idea that it will increasingly become its own, you know, its own thing. But they're kicking it off.
I mean, they figure if they can create the rails that anybody can use, then, you know, better for their company and product anyway, right?
So, which is cool, right? Because not every, you know, certainly not every company thinks that way, right? Let's look at Twitter, not a crypto company, but a company that has really doubled down on centralized everything.
Oh yeah.
Right? You know,
yeah. They kicked all the devs off of their platform, right? Or made it really expensive to develop apps for their platform. Basically, and that's one of the problems with Web 2.
Yeah. Exactly. You basically kill API access, and it's like, okay, well, who's going to come build businesses on top of your platform?
Exactly. Yeah. You know, you limit access to the freeway, and no one will want to put their business next to that freeway or you make it expensive to go on there.
Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah. So, I mean, my daughter came home from school with all these drawings yesterday, or these art pieces that she made in art class, and she wanted to put them on the refrigerator. And I was just like, well, you know, usually falls off and it won't be up there forever. I was like, well, do you want to, you know, make it an NFT? And she's like, what? And so I showed her. And so I ended up minting all her art on Zora and put it on the Base chain, you know, and I, you know, blasted it out to family and friends, my Facebook account, because that's what I use that for, and Instagram. And then I talk to all y'all on Twitter and, you know, Warpcast. but you know, a lot of people thought that was pretty cool. And I was thinking about it. I was just like, yeah, no, I said, you know, your kid's art can't stay up on the refrigerator forever. And, you know, I could upload it to Instagram or Facebook, but from MySpace, we all know how that went, you know, and and plus they're making money off of, you know, my daughter and the images and whatever I post up there. So I mint them as an NFT, and they will be up there as long as the blockchain exists, and she will always be able to reap the benefits from those images being there if, you know, anybody decides to buy or use it or whatever. So, you know, that's what you're talking about. But then I thought about, it's on the Base chain, like, who's gonna like, what normie in Facebook and Instagram is going to, like, unless they know, buy Ethereum, bridge it to Base, and then buy the NFT on Zora. So we still, like you said, we're not quite there yet.
We're not quite there. But and that stuff in particular, right, I think things are starting to move more quickly, starting to move even more quickly, I think, in access to things. Like, there's this integration with a platform called Decent, DECENT, that the Coordinate just did, to help, like, some of their stuff is built on Optimism mainnet. So, like, for folks who are listening, it's like there's all these different blockchains that are all they're all part of the Ethereum world, and then there's a subset of them that are sort of like built off of the same code. So Base that we've been talking about is one that's sort of in the Optimism family of chains. And it's all great. It's all like people trying to build smarter, better, faster ways of doing things. But to be able to transact on those chains, you need a little bit of crypto sitting on those chains. Not much these days. The things that John's talking about cost pennies to do, but you got to get the money there. And so this Decent company built this really handy tech to help you, you know, bridge funds from one to another. So I needed to get some pennies from Base over to Optimism mainnet. And like, it took seconds and cost pennies, right? You're paying a fee to do it, but it was literally like pennies. It was like, you know,
that's so great.
Like that kind of stuff. Right. And then that's not going to be enough to get like your auntie from Facebook to come do it. But, you know, if you go into the Coinbase wallet, and if you're gonna, you know, like they're making it easier and easier to do things on Base, like I think we're headed in that direction, but
it's like they never have to touch the Ethereum, you know, layer one chain. They can go straight to Base and not even ever interact with Ethereum layer one. And
that's so, right, which is big, right? Because that's a big barrier for folks, like
seriously,
you know, and not just like for sure financially, right? If, you know, if you're talking about transactions that cost pennies versus dollars, like you're going to limit folks, but even just limiting folks experimenting, right? Like,
yeah. Like, I mean, it's a pain in the ass to like have to get like a slight bit of crypto onto some new chain, you know, and sometimes you have to go through an entire KYC process and find that token like on the exchange somewhere and swap it. I don't know, just to get a tiny little bit, just to mess around, like you said, experiment,
just to go do a thing. So that stuff is getting better, but still still has to get way better. And and you know, and back to the whole sign in with Google thing, right? People have been building more and more ways that, you know, if somebody wants to come, you know, buy an NFT or participate in a Web3 thing with a, you know, with a credit card or, you know, Cash App or whatever they can. And I think that's great too. For the same reason, I think the email login, Google login stuff is great. It's like, you know, until we have easy ways for folks to come do this stuff that's all Web3 native, then let's meet them where they are and, you know, get them onboarded, let them use their credit card if they, you know,
yeah,
that's all they got, then okay, then fine, great, let's go.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. We had no idea what we were going to talk about whenever we first jumped on. I was just testing doing three live streams at the same time, and here we are, we're talking about like noob access and are we there yet, basically. So this is it. I think I'll cut it here. It's been a really great episode 512, everybody.
512.
Yeah, 512, that's the Austin area code.
But it is, right? There you go.
Yeah.
This is the real 512, too.
That's right, yeah. So tell everybody where can they can reach you and about where they can find your podcast and all that stuff.
Awesome. So I am DeFi Ginger, D-E-F-I Ginger, on all the social things, Twitter, Farcaster, Instagram, Telegram, whatever, hit me up anywhere there. And then my podcast is called Are We There Yet, which runs as a part of the Crypto Sapiens podcast. So if you find Crypto Sapiens either on, you know, Spotify or Apple Podcasts or YouTube, CryptoSapiens.xyz, then you can get into my Are We There Yet episodes within there. And if folks are listening, please take a listen, reach out, hit me up in any of the places, and let's get there.
All right. Once again, thanks so much.
Cool. Thanks, man.